Hello at Marketing for Changemakers, the podcast for all social entrepreneurs who want to learn how to become successful in marketing and at the same time be transparent, honest and sustainable. You want to have an impact and change the world with your business? Everyone should learn about your project. With Marketing for Changemakers, I will support you in all these questions. I will provide you with a lot of tips, insights and ideas and show you how to create a successful marketing strategy that fits your sustainable business. My name is Zina and I'm happy that you will listen to my podcast. Thank you so much.
Hello, Caitlin. It's great to have you on my podcast episode today. I'm really looking forward to talk with you about marketing, sustainability and all the projects you're involved right now. So maybe as a starter, you can introduce yourself and tell a little bit about you and what you're doing.
Well, thank you. So my name is Caitlin, Caitlin Flannery. I have been working for a project called the Blue Ocean Network for the last year. That's mainly an online blog networking kind of community, mostly in a Facebook group, designed to support people who are making changes in the ocean community, but more than kind of the usual suspects. So we talk about uncommon ocean leaders, people involved in business, people kind of just getting out of school, anyone involved in tourism, as well as really anybody who's super connected to the world as it exists kind of in reality now, and how can they affect the ocean in a positive way, in small ways and big ways. And so it's more aimed to be kind of a supportive community for that. And for myself as well, I am taking bite-sized steps towards my own project, which is kind of grown up with me over the last couple of years. It's called The Sustainable Tourist. So it is the idea of traveling to sustainability, both inside and sort of how do you access that outside, particularly through the lens of projects that you can visit in tourism as well.
I had the luck to experience Caitlin's work a little bit during the last year. We got to know each other on Malta in a co-living space and we were like working together closely, and I could see how she's working, what she's doing, and it's really an amazing project and she's doing an amazing job. So maybe you can give some more details on what exactly you do for Blue Ocean Network and how it is, because you're working in marketing, how it is related to sustainability and how sustainability is one like key point in the way you do marketing.
Right, so it really started out, it's developed a lot, my role with Blue Ocean Network. It started out both broadly and basically as digital marketing, which ended up being a kind of evaluation of what tools do we use to do marketing, what tools do we automate, where do we get our content from, and then sort of how do we share that, on what channels, are we sharing it in groups, at what time, kind of creating a whole system for this. Was kind of the beginning. And as I did more of that, the more I got involved in the actual voice of the business, the kind of the content behind the blogs, who are we asking to write for us, and then also like what are the outlines, what are the topics we're covering. So a lot of back and forth, that kind of the channels we put things out on, the response we get, and how do we summarize things in the digital copy, like when we write copy for Twitter or for Facebook, and how people are responding to that really feeds back into our decision-making for the content that we create on a larger scale, either via the blog or a live event. And so I do a lot of that kind of communication between our community and our sort of mix of contributors. That's really how that's developed. In addition, I mean, marketing also has search engine optimization as part of my role as well. Tracking and data and things like that are also part of my role. How is it related to sustainability? I kind of talk about one part of it is lifestyle of an ocean change maker. And I explain that to people a little bit on a broad sense as sustainability. Which there's a lot of content out there about sustainable lifestyles and sustainable living. But when we're talking about the rationale behind why a reader that's connected to us might resonate with that kind of lifestyle, for us, it's about tying actions back into changes they might already know about in the ocean or things they already care about in the ocean. Like, for instance, if you're talking about eating meat as just a sustainable lifestyle brand, you might be talking a little bit about how the Amazon rainforest gets kind of raised and altered, to use a good word, for this kind of industry. So now you have a connection to trees and to, you know, if we're talking about palm oil, right, we're talking about the orangutan maybe. So there are all these different lenses to talk about the same things. Now, if I'm talking about palm oil or meat, they're the same issue that I'm talking about, but I'm changing it and we're changing it for the audience. Like, for instance, if I'm talking about the meat and the Amazon rainforest, and then we might talk about deforestation, sediment runoff from deforestation, and fertilizer runoff into the ocean, which creates algae blooms and affects the life in the water. So it's just putting it in a different ecosystem for someone who's already more geared to resonate with that ecosystem more. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what I just heard from what you were saying is that for you, the way you do the communication, also the marketing, is like educating your audience and giving them more value, and also like using stories, using storytelling. Mm. I saw lots of your posts you did during the last year, and read some of them, and you shared them with me when you created it. And what I always really like about it is the way you're creating stories, and you use storytelling to bring your message out into the world. Yeah. So if you can give a little bit more details on how you create your stories, why you think this is important, and how you just do it.
Yeah. Well, so storytelling for me kind of came about because, you know, it's been several years where I've been making myself through different projects in different ways, different roles that all kind of are nonprofit based, have to do with human dimensions of resiliency, eventually the environment, eventually the ocean. So a lot of kind of cause based work. So for me, that was always kind of intrinsic in myself. But I would see when I would talk to family and friends or other people about it, that while they might be open to hearing like the facts and the figures or something like that, it didn't really shift anything. I couldn't, you know, you look in someone's eyes and you can see whether it pulls something for them or not. And I only made changes to my life when those things got pulled inside of me. And so I realized that that was a way better method for evoking something inside, a feeling inside people, and that feeling is what sticks with people. Yeah. That feeling is what makes them wanna chase. They wanna chase that feeling. They want that. So for me, I also try and focus on educating with storytelling, but I try and make people, we work with tourism a lot because I try and make people chase it in like a good feeling. Like every time I provoke a big question that might be kind of a scary question because it's sustainability and climate and environment and things like that, I also try and provoke the feeling of the ocean, the feeling of this freedom, the feeling of this wonder. I'm always trying to pull that out to remind people that I'm not one more person telling you you need to do something because of the blah, 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 but that they tie together, that you can chase more of this feeling of wonder by aligning more with hopefully with what I'm sharing, because that's what we're trying to do. So
yeah, this is so beautiful. I really, really, really love it. I really love the way you're doing it. And
thank you, Sina.
But of course, if someone is listening now to our episode and they think, oh, that makes really sense, I want to create this feeling as well in my audience, in my customers, how can they do it? I mean, is it easy? Is it not easy? How do we have some steps they can implement? Or like maybe you can give some advices how you prepare your posts, how you're just creating this feeling.
So is it easy? I don't know. I would say it was a lot of trial and error, and it's still a lot of trial and error. You know, sometimes I do something and I get a totally different response than I thought, or no response. And I'm like, okay, I missed on that one. And it's different across different channels, because like how I write for Twitter versus Facebook versus Instagram are really very different things at the end of the day. I've gotten to know the industry that I deal with, and I meet a lot of people over the years who are part of it. So that helps, because whether sometimes it's frustrating, but if you're sitting with someone like even a casual conversation, they they will tell you how they think or how they feel. And sometimes it's what you expect and sometimes it's not. So I think involving yourself further in the industry, in the community, mm-hmm. even though I work virtually, I try and involve myself as well, non-virtually, in the community of people who I might be talking to, because they help inform me about what might resonate with them. And then when I create the story itself, I try and ask a question a lot of times, or I try and sit with a really specific detail. If I can't come up with a question, sometimes I'll try and find something like a really specific kind of like detail to have a lot of, I don't know how to explain that. So for instance, it ends up being a lot of like nature-based things, obviously. So maybe I will have a picture of, like I just did one for the seashell, so it's in my mind, a picture of a seashell. And then I'll either describe it as well in words, so someone can smell the picture, hear the picture, feel the seashell a little bit more, and put that little piece of that feeling into what I'm writing. Yeah, or see it in some way. So I'm trying to kind of tie them together, but in a small way. So the rest of the story can be kind of something, maybe a little off topic of the picture, but just to have that moment of that detail so you can feel it in yourself then, with a really descriptive, kind of pulling out your senses, because nature is all about your senses. So I'm trying to pull out people's senses as well.
And what I also really see in your post and the way you create it, I can sense that a lot of your own personalities, a lot of your own values, and it's connected to yourself, to your soul, and to your whole being. Do you think this is also really important to create an authentic message, to create a good message, or do you think it's not important?
Well, personally, I think it's core. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I find it very core, not only because I think that that will help your brand and your business go a lot farther in the long run, because it will stay authentic to who you are, and people can recognize that, but also because I truly believe that if you're not kind of aligning your personal values with your work, that you won't actually be able to stay with it for a long time, nor will you do a good job at it in the long run. We can all put like coats on and do things for different motivations for a period of time. But I think that without doing your best to align those things, it's going to be a problem. Yeah, personally. And I guess that's one of the ways that I think I know if I've written something well that I'm excited to share, is when I can feel that I really expressed that personal ethic as well too. And because there's so much competition and stuff online, it's like people describe it as like shouting out into a big like void and trying to get people to respond. Of course, that's true. And there's also a lot of ups and downs in kind of the digital media marketing space. Like, you know, Facebook makes a new algorithm and everyone's business kind of gets shifted, and then someone buys Instagram and everyone's stuff gets shifted. So you're always going to have to deal with that. And I think if you focus on the tips and tricks around that, which of course are important, but if you do that while missing the fact that what's important is for you to be authentic to yourself and your voice, then you're gonna kind of like be victim to those ups and downs, more so than finding an authentic group of people who get and stick and find value in you, and you get light from them and build one another up. And I think that keeps you above kind of all of that shift and risk that exists in that kind of game.
Yeah, of course, you have more stability, and you don't depend on all those external factors out there that much. What I experience. Yeah,
that's what my feeling is as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you like work with different channels like Twitter, Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you have the feeling that you use different kind of messages or different types of messages on those channels? How do you create your post there? And which of those channels is for you personally like your favorite channel?
I use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I think it'd be very interesting to use LinkedIn, particularly for the Blue Ocean Network, but that's like much more kind of, in my opinion, like CEO based, as in like my subject matter expert, like my boss and founders and stuff would have to be more active on that in order for us to effectively use LinkedIn. We kind of use Twitter, honestly, I use it kind of just to still be a presence on Twitter. We started out to use it as kind of a way to test what works with our audience, because Twitter is a place where your followers and people on there are more forgiving if you put a lot of content out there. But what we found was just that we didn't have the manpower to kind of constantly be testing things physically on Twitter. So we kind of automate that one as well a little bit and don't really use it as a test ground anymore. I like Twitter personally for kind of a little bit of staying up on my community, because I think that's an important part of being in this business as well, is like I also stay on top of, you know, sort of movements of ocean change makers. It's a good place to find that kind of information, which I enjoy. And more for there, people seem to respond for us to more standard kind of things. Like we have a weekly update we put out. So it's here's the weekly update news. And that kind of goes at the beginning of each tweet, and then there's content from like the headline, maybe from either our own article or something else we're kind of curating and sharing. Things that are more unique than that, unless they're really, really like a nugget of great information, they don't get as much engagement. So that's kind of our stable engagement, are these sort of like more active posts on Twitter. Facebook's a good place to kind of like share. We'll post one of our blogs or something someone's written, but then we'll kind of summarize it. So I like to do that on Facebook because I realize sometimes people don't leave the platform of Facebook, but they'll still sign up or like your page on there. So I don't need them to necessarily go to the website from Facebook. Although, of course, I would like them to do that, but I'm trying to make it so that they can, in the copy on Facebook, just get what's the summary of the whole summary, like not a cliffhanger, nothing like clickbaity, like go to this page or anything like that, but more just the whole summary of the article and kind of the copy, because people are more likely to share and a lot of people, like I said, don't leave that platform, but they can still sign up to your newsletter from Facebook if they go to your page. So of course there's a total kind of like funnel built into Facebook, and we have groups as well, which is where we use some of our Facebook engagement. Instagram is my favorite because I really like finding the content. I love the visual aspect of sort of designing what does our feed look like. So I'm very like the colorful aspect of it, how do colors and branding kind of all come together to make a recognizable like mosaic when you're on the feed, and then also when people just see it as like just their solo, just one post somewhere in their feed. And for me, while I tie back into sometimes articles, I'll put like linked in our bio or something like that, something where you can click through to our website, I also get to have times when I'm just writing kind of my own little snippet of a story. So they're much less connected to the articles and more mindset kind of based, it's a little bit more artistic for me, and so I enjoy that one the most.
Yeah, I could see the way you're preparing your Instagram posts, it's like a lot of creativity getting in there.
Yeah.
Can you maybe share some tools you use to prepare your posts, and how you, if do you create a monthly plans, weekly plans, how you do it?
So for Twitter and Facebook, so Twitter we do weekly curation of the news, which I do a lot of research. And then we repost that on the Twitter feed every week. So that kind of goes into, we use SmarterQ as a hosting platform for Twitter and Facebook. We put that and we schedule that into Twitter. Then we also do a little bit of like who's in the network. So every week we also do some research into ocean change makers, and we share that information on Twitter, and that gets scheduled as well. Facebook, the same, we schedule it in SmarterQ. That's mostly our own original work, because we have enough content to put out that we're not really resharing other content anymore on Facebook. So we have a weekly content meeting, sometimes bi-weekly, depending, and we decide on the content that's going to be written and shared in the newsletter that week. And then we have a week lag time. So that newsletter that gets shared that week the next Monday is when we're scheduling things from that newsletter to go out the following week on Facebook. So we have another week lag time and then an update and then the next week. So that's kind of how we plan that. Instagram, I do a month in advance, and I'm not so tied into kind of the new things that we have on the site, like the new articles we're writing. I'm more identifying kind of lifestyle articles and things that are already existing on our site to match with pictures. And I do that a month in advance.
I saw you using Trello for
Yes,
Instagram,
so for Instagram,
right?
I use Trello because, well, okay, so I've used Trello for planning. And then we actually started using Hootsuite for Instagram scheduling. SmarterQ is not great for Instagram. I don't love it because I can't see it visually very well, which is why I really responded to using Trello. It lets me put all my photos in different lists so I can see them in kind of like a running... Yeah, it's really easy to see the photos, really easy to add a caption and tags and kind of organize that way and move it into a schedule on there. So I pretty much will have a picture with my hashtags on a Trello card and the description, as well as kind of my category and the title and maybe a credit for the photo, all on a Trello card. And I'll put them, like 14 of them, into like a month list. And then from there, we'll just, it's a quick transfer over to Hootsuite from there. But it's all put together in one place there, which I really respond to using Trello for Instagram. Mm. And even if we miss the Hootsuite part, and I'm Instagram as well as a mobile application as opposed to a desktop. So Trello works really awesomely on my mobile phone as well, which is why I like that as an app. So I can just easily copy and paste, and they're very compatible for mobile together as well.
So those tools are very helpful to build a structure and to create the post. Do you maybe have some books or podcasts or something in mind that helps me to create this creativity, this feeling you were talking about that you're implementing in your post, something that can inspire and help to maybe create more stories in the communication?
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting because they're not necessarily, they're not really like social media, but anyway, for me, one of my favorite books is called A Language Older Than Words. It's by Derek Jensen. Derek Jensen does a lot of, they call it deep green movement work. Deep green is kind of like a ethical, moral connection to sustainability. Anyway, he wrote this book, A Language Older Than Words, which talks about maybe all the ways that our like our soul is kind of connected into nature and into the actions we take in nature, and the ways that we've been conditioned to not realize that that's happening, or we've kind of turned off how we're connected to it. For instance, he talks a little bit about the toll of killing animals. So he's tells a story about how he went and he took like a chicken that he raised and went to kill it himself. And he told the chicken that he kept doing this thing, like was kind of misbehaving. And he told him, if you do that again, you're going to be the one that I kill next. And he experienced this moment where he took this chicken to the chopping block because the chicken did this thing. And how he felt like he connected and looked this animal in the eyes, and that the animal kind of like calmed right before it happened, and actually, like, to hear him describe it, like stretched its neck out on the wood block. Like, this is a transaction. This is a commitment we're making to one another. There's something so much more sacred about these kind of actions. And he tied that story into the idea that, well, there's thousands and thousands of this type of animal slaughter going on everywhere, but we're so disconnected from it that if we were to reconnect into transaction is the wrong word, but into this moment of connection, I'm taking a life from my life. That's not easy to do, but it's like way more healthy just in general. So kind of talking about those things, but talking them on like a bigger social scale, how they might be affecting things. For the Blue Ocean Network, any kind of literature about the blue mind is beautiful to read. It's all about the neuroscience behind our body's reaction to water, physiological, non-conscious changes in our body when we see, smell, feel, are in water. That helps me a lot with writing about kind of the value of water. I like to read some indigenous social media feeds, eco-psychology, because there's a lot of this like kind of ancient original wisdom that's there around the value of sacredness in water as well. So those kind of themes are really sort of where I pull personal strength and inspiration for and from.
Yeah, thank you for sharing it. I will for sure link all of the books and things you mentioned in the show notes. And can you, in the end, I always like the final question to ask if you have maybe a call to action on something the audience can implement right now to maybe also create compelling stories and messages like you do, something they can do right away now to get started.
So what came to mind was when you're not sure, when you're just not sure what to do, just go put your feet, your bare feet on the earth and feel how stable it is beneath your feet. Feel it's there, it doesn't move, it's supporting you, and pull that feeling up through the middle of your body. And then just stand there for a minute and feel that feeling of support, that feeling of connection, that feeling of earthiness, and then make your decision from there. This rootedness really helps me from being too disconnected. That would be my call to action. Go feel the earth under your feet.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing it. Yeah, thank you so much that you were a guest on my podcast episode today.
Oh, I'm so happy
really,
to do
really
it.
Appreciate it, and I really enjoyed having you here and hearing all the wisdom from you and all the things you shared. So thank you a lot. And of course I will tag you on the show notes as well. So if someone wants to reach out to Caitlin or see what she's doing, I will put all the information in the show notes. And if you have any final words, feel free to share them.
Yeah, so please check it out and let me know if anything I'm writing resonates with you, and yes or no. The other thing I want to say, call to action, say yes to things. I've done some stuff that like is collaborations, for instance, with Zena, which has just kind of built up some of my skills and some of the inspiration behind other people and kind of taking me in different directions. I would say that as well. Say yes to things. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you.
Super happy to be part of this. Looking forward to it for a while. So.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.